This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the North, Alexis Traffic Desk, your report is brought to you by Berkeley Eye Center. Delays continue on the Southwest Freeway heading northbound at Chimney Rug. There was an accident there blocking two center lanes. It's slowing you down from Bel Air. Out of Pearland, Manville, there was an accident 288 northbound. At FM 518, it has cleared. Delays continue from County Road 101 and over on the E6 Freeway southbound at Aldine Mill Route. There's an accident blocking a left lane. Berkeley, it's too hot for glasses and contacts in Houston, so cool off with Berkeley's coolest LASIK offer ever. Free $275 designer sunglasses and their biggest savings of the year. Text LASIK to 484848 for your free sunglasses and huge LASIK savings at Berkeley Eye Center. High 95 today, 81 degrees right now. From the Trailer Wheel and Frame Mother Desk, I'm Elia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Elia, I see you're wearing a sweater.
It's cold in here.
It was hot like 45 minutes ago.
I didn't touch it. I didn't touch the AC.
It's blue. When it's blue, it means that it's cold.
I like many people, I saw that tweet from some agency that recommended sleeping at 85 degrees to save energy last night. So I tried sleeping at 75 degrees, and it wasn't too bad.
No,
I put the light blanket on the bed. 85. I don't see how yeah. You wake up dehydrated with cramps. Yeah. Like, how's that for the environment? Me guzzling 8 plastic water bottles in the morning because I sweat to death.
I sleep one of those fleece blankets like year round.
Oh
the
yeah,
thick ones. I'm
you
always
keep it cold.
Though. Yeah,
I'm gonna get one of those heavy blankets.
Oh,
so I can feel like I'm like sweet death is finally
wrap yourself
yeah,
up.
Like I've been buried in
like a
grave.
Burrito,
yeah.
Like a Chipotle. Okay, if you're looking for a benchmark for how Bill O'Brien feels about players who are unavailable repeatedly, here's Bill O'Brien a couple of weeks ago, the day that Kahale Waring returned to practice from the non-football injury list when he was asked how he looked out there.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you know, like these guys, like they miss like all this time and then they come out there and what you may think is moving around well, not sure I would agree on that with you. You know what I mean? Like, I just would say that he needs to be out there. I mean, it's just like Charles Omenihu. You know, he's been out there, knock on wood, every day. He gets better. You know, like, and Kahale's he's a great kid, but, you know, they're young. They don't understand hydration. They don't understand nutrition. They everything's brand new to them, you know. And so, but the most important thing is you have to be on the field.
They don't understand massage therapy.
They don't understand certified massage. They don't understand that massage therapy is something you go to school for. That you don't go down to the docks and hire the biggest, burliest guy you can see. And you're like, can you press on ribs? You know?
You make it sound like George the Animal Steel was his masseuse.
It was.
Some big, burly sailor with a mother tattoo on his forearm. A big anchor.
Carlos Correa and his cost-cutting measures.
Yeah. So do we think that's what Bill... Seth, let's play a little role play here. You're Bill O'Brien. Let's pretend that Carlos Correa is a Houston Texan for a second. And then he's had the track record of the last couple of years in terms of his availability. Bill, what do you think of Carlos Correa as a player?
I think he's a great player when he's out there, you know, but availability is what matters. I have a hard time with this because like Correa does produce when he's healthy and he's out there. So I'm trying to think of who this would be equivalent to. I guess it would be like it's like a lesser JJ. Like if Bill O'Brien had come onto this team in 2016 and like all he knew of JJ was that he was injured and then the next year he got injured again, would O'Brien be any different about it? Would he treat JJ any differently?
No, because he watches him work in the building and things like that.
Ah, that's true. So that might be the difference is that like Correa, because Correa did all these things at the beginning of the year, you know, to get his back ready. And he had this half hour long routine that he was going through. He was doing all these things the right way.
I'm going to tell you exactly who he is on the Texans. He is the love child of Will Fuller and Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, okay. And here's why. Yeah.
His injury history is very similar to Will Fuller's in that it's some stuff that some of it's contact, some of it's non-contact, but the bottom line is you can't get a full season out of the guy. Literally, both guys, Fuller and Correa, you cannot get a full season out of it. Not only not get a full season, but they miss big chunks of seasons. That's number one.
Large swaths.
Large swaths of season. The clowny part of it comes in where, you know, where the comparison with Fuller falls apart a little bit is that Fuller is kind of built to be injured like that. You know, Fuller's a more diminutive kind of guy. He's a speed guy, so you expect maybe some of this hammy stuff to happen with him. The ACL thing was just an unfortunate bit of luck where a guy just rolled over him when they were both going up for the ball in that Dolphin game last year. But I think the clowny portion of the comparison with Correa is that at one time they were both the chosen ones.
Right.
They were both thought to be the next big thing. They were both thought to be a generational talent. They're both guys that you look at, and there will be a general manager or more, one or more, somewhere that will wind up bidding and overbidding for either of these two guys, probably.
And you get that feeling of the untapped potential or yes. what might have been, to the point where you get you feel worse about them than you really should. Just because you feel like they haven't actually done what you expected them to do. With Correa, though, I've never gotten the sense that he has any kind of work ethic issues or attitude or anything like that. It's just flat out the combination of, I suppose, the actual injuries and then the whole thing with his off the field YouTubery that people really don't like.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that Clowney has major work ethic issues either. You know what I mean? Like, he may have work ethic issues in the eyes of Bill O'Brien, but it could be that 99.9% of the other people on the planet could watch Jadeveon Clowney, maybe even including some of his teammates, and go, "That guy works hard.
Right?
He's here. Look at him. You can't get to be like that without the genetic gifts work up to a point, but Clowney's starting to get to an age where my guess is, and you're a former professional athlete, I'm not. But Clowney's starting to get to an age where you're going to, and had his body go through some things, where just by definition you have to be a hard worker to get to that point.
Well, what happens with a lot of guys is just simple maturity, and it's more about the habits. Like, because everybody, I think, you know, everybody falls in love with the sneaker commercials and everything, and the motivational, like, grind videos and all that stuff. A lot of times with a lot of guys, especially the freakishly gifted ones, it's really more about, as they get older, what are your routines? What are you doing at night? What time are you going to bed? Like, how early are you getting there in the morning to go through your cold tub and hot tub and all the physical treatment you have to do? And I've gotten the sense that over time, Clowney's gotten way more mature with that stuff. So in Correa, I don't know if it was ever an issue before. He got way more mature this year and getting there early to go through his back routine and everything. Now, I do wonder, that it's a long baseball season. And to get there every day and do like your half hour back warm up before every, like at some point you go through a stretch where you feel pretty good and you're like, you know what? Maybe I can back off on that a little bit and I'll be all right. And I'm using a different massage therapist and there we go.
My feeling on Correa, Seth, has always been independent of the physical issues. There's something a little off with Carlos Correa for me compared to the other core guys on this team. You know what I mean? And I don't want to read too much into it, but yeah, some of the stuff on YouTube with his fiance bugs me a little bit. And I think it bugs a lot of people that Carlos Correa had this rib injury and he's going on and doing a 6-minute video that they're turning into a PSA for domestic violence. And he's walking up to the camera and pulling his shirt up for the camera and showing that there's no bruising. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, can you think of the other core guys on the Astros and ask yourself, can you picture any of these guys sitting down and kind of making a semi-fool out of themselves? Can you picture Springer, Altuve, Verlander, Bregman? I know Bregman's got his YouTube channel, but he's not on there trying to justify, not on there with a significant other, trying to explain away injuries.
Honestly, like, if it actually happened that somebody was injured by their massage therapist, that's an inherently kind of funny situation. Like, any of those guys that you just mentioned, I feel like they would have had, at least they would have had a press conference where you'd get up and you'd be like, kind of like, listen, guys, like, I know, it sounds stupid and crazy. That's what happened. And that's what made it even weirder was that they were so serious about explaining how it happened.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, Daniela didn't beat me. You shouldn't even joke about that.
Do you think we're getting chapter two now with this new back injury? Is this a sequel?
What if it's like they're, I don't know, is he doing too much work around the house? That'll be the new Twitter conspiracy. Well, thing is, first they tried to save money on the massage therapist, and now they're saving money on housekeeping, and Carlos has to do like 2 hours of vacuuming a day.
The solution to the Astros season is they need to get a DJ instead of a band. They need to go with the chicken instead of the steak. Like that's going to say saving the Astros season is going to be Daniela and Carlos cutting corners on their wedding.
Their wedding is at some resort where Astros fans can pay a fee to go and be a part of the wedding or something.
Dude,
and Correa can sign autographs and spend a couple hours a day.
We got the Correa and the Watt weddings coming up.
They do. You know, the Bull does our country station does a cruise with their listeners, and like the thought
they
of
do?
That, yeah. So like, you know, it gets paid for the guys, you know, George and everybody will go on the cruise and they don't have to pay for anything. But that's almost, that feels like a lot of pressure. Like I'd feel pressure to drink every day with people. Like people are going to pay to go hang out on the cruise with you and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to, you're the paid entertainment at that point. I don't know if it would feel much like a vacation. It would be fun, but it would also feel like it might be physically draining.
What would be your most on-brand thing to do on a listener cruise? Would it be to sit and drink the whole time?
It'd be that. It would be, I don't know. What's on-brand for me anyway? I feel like my brand has changed.
That's probably an unfair question because I had an answer for me. I'd be sitting at the blackjack table for 20 hours.
You'd be gambling a lot.
I'd be gambling.
I'd be down watching like the in-ship entertainment.
There you
go.
Like
John Wessling, the comedian. He works on cruise ships.
I feel like you appreciate good humor.
I would love that. I would go on a comedy cruise where there were a bunch of really good comedians and you could go every night to different guys.
I was listening to one of the 80s channels. They have an 80s cruise coming up sometime. It might be at a time of year where we need to be here because it's football season. I think it's during football season. We need to be here for football season.
Yeah.
So I may have to call in sick for 4 or 5 days while I'm on a cruise with Flock of Seagulls and Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, that'd
doing
be great.
Some karaoke.
I would do. No, you know what I would do? I would be at the food. I'd be at the buffet a lot. That's why I can't go on cruises.
There you go.
Because I'd gain like 30 pounds.
That's on me. I should have thought of that for you because I sat with you at Denny's during the first 2 weeks of training camp watching you eat 3 skillets a day.
Oh, yeah. I would turn it into
And I don't mean breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean all for breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you did the rest of the day.
We were going there. That was just my breakfast A. I still have breakfast B to get to after the show.
You got home?
After we were done with practice, yeah. This is, I keep weird hours and I eat multiple meals.
Seth has brunch, and leckfest. He's got 3 meals in between breakfast and lunch.
I think to get back to Correa, I think if O'Brien were asked about Correa, he would do kind of what he did with Matt Khalil, where O'Brien does that thing that my kid does when you present them with something that they don't want to answer. They ask the question again. Like, go ahead and ask me about Correa.
Well, Bill, what are your thoughts on Carlos Correa?
What do you mean about Correa?
I mean, as a player, he hasn't been out there very much lately.
Hasn't been out there? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, look, Carlos Correa is a guy that, you know, when he is out there, we really love having him. And that's where, when he returns, he'll be the guy. And we expect to have him.
Is he a hard worker and a good teammate, Bill?
I went into Steve Spurrier almost. When Steve Spurrier was asked about Clowney, he was like, I mean, look, he's no George Springer. He's no Altuve, if that's what you're
asking.
Well,
okay, that's what I want to ask you. And Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, and we're talking about the Carlos Correa back injury, but within the context of what Bill O'Brien would say about these guys. Who is the J.J. Watt of the Houston Astros?
J.J. Watt.
Like, if you were to ask Bill O'Brien... If you were asked Bill O'Brien a question that would elicit a J.J. Watt-type answer, what player are we asking him about?
That would have to be Altuve.
You would think, right?
Right, because there's almost... And also, because this happens with Altuve and Watt both. You can almost sense the annoyment with people when they're asked questions about them because there's nothing left to say. Like how many times can Bill O'Brien... To the point where it feels like you're being disrespectful. Because, like, as a teammate, I used to feel like this about certain players. Like, people would ask you about him, and you've already said everything there is to say about him, and it feels like you're disrespecting him, like, because you want to say something new or original, but you've said all of it. So there's nothing more to say other than, like, all that same stuff. It's a tricky spot to be in.
Yeah.
So, like, with Altuve and J.J. Watt, you just continue to say the same things over and over again because they've already reached that certain plateau.
They're very similar. Obviously, they're very dissimilar in terms of stature, but I think they're very similar in terms of what makes them great in the eyes of their teammates and coaches/managers and employers, which is they're both, you know, clearly they're the face of their respective franchises, although Altuve has a lot of company now. So does JJ. I mean, I think DeSean and DeAndre are right there. But JJ is still the face of the Texans. The same way I still think that Altuve, despite all these, the plethora of new guys that have been added to the mix, Altuve's the one who's been here since 2011. Like JJ's been the one who's been here since 2011, coincidentally, the exact same year. But I think they've both added things to their games through the years where they both could have, at about 2014 or 2015, both of them just could have sat with who they were
and been pretty good players,
all pro, you know.
Well, yeah, like, or they had achieved that spot, but maybe they would have had their bright burst and then they would have settled into something that was different, but they kept improving
their
games.
Yeah,
I think also, I guess Altuve, like JJ, is now, you know, has had some physical adversity over the last calendar year.
That's a good
year.
Point.
And you start to see the mortality. Like, you wanted to think, like, I always thought of Altuve as, wow, he's going to be awesome until he's 45 years old, and it's going to be an unblemished trip to 45 years old, where this last year you've seen, oh, yeah, wow, he can get injured too, and it's going to be really interesting to see, like next year. God forbid he doesn't get like another kind of big injury that needs surgery or something like he did last year. Next year, I would expect to have like a smoother road because he'll be over a full calendar year past his surgery. And
yeah,
everything.
He's been hitting the ball well lately. Text message, Altuve equals Watt, Bregman equals D-Hop. I can live with that.
Bregman equals D-Hop. Yeah, there's a little bit more edge. You know what?
Flair.
Altuve, you know what Altuve and Watt are? They're Jay Leno, where Bregman and DeAndre Hopkins are David Letterman. There's like a little bit, there's an edginess to them that doesn't appeal necessarily to middle America.
Yeah.
But you kind of like it. They got that mischievous, like they got that little glint in their eye where you know they're not complete and total Boy Scouts.
And you love them on your team.
Except, well, I don't know if anybody hates DeAndre though.
No, you're probably right.
DeAndre's really, like, he'd be a hard one to hate. Like, he's Anquan Boldin. I went through a stretch where I really hated the Ravens, but there's no way I could ever hate Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Like, because he's just like, he's like total blue collar lunch pail, except that DeAndre's a little like Gucci blue collar.
Yeah.
He's got the fashionable side, but his game is blue collar.
Who's the Alfred Blue of the Astros?
Oh, Alfred Blue of the Astros.
Kind
of. Is that Reddick?
Hung around
Would that
for
be
a few
Reddick?
Years.
Well, no, I can't say
Reddick's
Reddick.
Like Reddick's Nick
done,
Martin.
Reddick's had some really good times. He's like who?
Reddick's like Nick Martin. I'll love him there, and you know, but it's like I'm not quite sure what he's done to justify this massive love that he gets.
But the World Series, see, this is where the World Series screws everything up.
Yeah.
Because if you'd won a World Series, then you'd say like, okay, yeah, but Nick Martin was a part of all that.
Yeah, but Reddick was terrible in the World Series.
God,
he was awful.
Not with a champagne celebration.
No, he was great when he was in his undies.
We're supposed to be
champagne.
Cool with the American flag undies and
everything.
That's
true.
You're not supposed to feel uncomfortable or weird about that.
Tony Sipp was the Alfred Blue. Got 3 years,
three years,
$18 million.
Yeah.
To come in and not get anybody out.
Who is, you know what, when you said Alfred Blue, I actually first thought Tony Kemp, which isn't fair to Tony Kemp at all.
I didn't want to put that on Kemp because I really like Tony Kemp.
But I really liked Alfred Blue too.
Yeah.
If they had stuck with Tony Kemp for like two more years, that's the difference between maybe O'Brien and Brian Gaine versus the Astros. If Bill O'Brien were Jeff Luhnow, since he is a GM now, I feel like Tony Kemp would be here until 2024. You know, like, can you just give
him 5 years, $21 million?
Have you guys not noticed his similarities to Altuve? He's short, like him. So we're just gonna stick it out with him because he's a good dude.
He's a good guy, good teammate, good on special teams.
He can do a backflip. Yeah. Holy Christ!
He can do a backflip. Yeah. That was edgy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.